الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فقد سوف نشرع اليوم إن شاء الله تعالى بتفسير سورة البقرة، وهي سورة مدنية. وهذا التفسير الذي نقرأ منه ونترجم إلى اللغة الإنجليزية هو تفسير تيسير الكريم الرحمن لتفسير كلام المنان للشيخ عبد الرحمن منصر السعدي رحمه الله تعالى. ويقول الله عز وجل: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام ميم، ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون. Someone kindly recite or read in English verses 1 to 5 from Surah Al-Baqarah, the cow.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام ميم. These letters are one of the miracles of the Quran. And none but Allah knows their meanings. This is a book where there is no doubt, a guidance to those who are not at home, the pious, believers of Islam, monotheism, who fear Allah, must abstain from all kinds of sins and evil deeds, which He has forbidden, and love Allah, must perform all kinds of good deeds, which He has ordained. Who believe in the guide, perform salat, come salat, and spend out of what we have provided for them. Give zakat, spend themselves, their parents, their children, their wives, and all give charity to the poor and also and Allah's cause, jihad. And who believe in the Quran and the Sunnah, which has been sent down to give to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and if the peace was sent down before you, the Torah and the Injil, and they believe with certainty and the hereafter, resurrection, recompense of the good and bad deeds, paradise and hell. They are on true guidance from their Lord, and they are successful.
JazakAllah khair. Now of course, and in essence here, many of the things that the brother read were actually additions from the translators, and it is not from the actual context of the Arabic, such as when they wanted to explain who are the muttaqeen, they said those who believe in Islamic monotheism and they do, you know, fear Allah much and do good deeds, and this is all not from the actual Arabic. Rather, this is an addition in English, that's why you have it between brackets in the actual book, in order to explain it. And just as a comment. نعم. يقول الشيخ رحمه الله: تقدم الكلام على البسملة، وأما الحروف المقطعة في أوائل السور فالأسلم منها السكوت عن التعرض لمعناها من غير مستند شرعي، مع الجزم بأن الله تعالى لم ينزلها عبثا بل لحكمة لا نعلمها. He said, we have already spoke about basmala, meaning basmala is the name or the title given to Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. They call it basmala or even Bismillah. He said, we've already discussed that in Fatiha and what it means in, you know, the I'rab and what have you. He said, as for the حروف المقطعة, the broken letters, which is alif, lam, meem. The Shaykh said, that comes in the beginning of the chapter. He said, the safest thing is to remain silent. The safest position is to remain silent pertaining to it, without having any textual evidence to try to explain it. Without having the textual evidence is something that should not be done, because first and foremost, the Prophet ﷺ used to recite that, because this is what was revealed to him. And none of the companions ever asked, O Messenger of Allah, what does alif lam mim mean? Neither did he ﷺ explain it, although often, then he will explain the Quran to his companions. He will teach him the verse and he will explain the intent behind it and the meaning and the tafsir. Yet he never discussed Alif Lam Mim, and his companions never discussed Alif Lam Mim or Kaf Ha Ya Ain Sad or Sad or Qaf, you know, or Yasin. The beginning of these chapters, you know, Alif Lam Mim Ra, Alif Lam Ra, ila akhirih. None discussed them, so we don't discuss them. Because the Shaykh said, while having firm belief that Allah did not reveal it without any purpose, rather it is for a hikmah that we do not know. We do not know. So that if the bottom line that our methodology is logical, if it was important, Allah would have told you about it. That's it. Don't trouble yourself. If you knowing what Alif Lam Mim was necessary for your guidance, Allah would have told us what it is. The fact that Allah didn't tell us, meaning it is not going to be necessary to us. Yet Allah revealed it for wisdom. We may realize it on the Day of Judgment. We may realize it in the year after. We may realize it. Allah knows when. But for now, we will not speak about it. This is the manhaj of all the mufassireen, except those who think they're a little bit more intellectual than the others, where they try to explain on their own and say Alif stands for I don't know what, and Lam stands for I don't know what, and Mim, and they have absolutely no evidence to come and make this particular explanation. وقوله ذلك الكتاب أي هذا الكتاب العظيم الذي هو الكتاب على الحقيقة المشتمل على ما لم تشتمل عليه كتب المتقدمين من العلم العظيم والحق المبين. He says that book, he says, which is basically, it is this honorable, great book, that is the book in truth. That is really the true book in truth that contains everything that the books of those who came before us contained, like the scriptures. من العلم العظيم والحق المبين, from the great knowledge and from the clear truth. فلا ريب فيه, there is no doubt in it. ولا شك بوجه من الوجوه ونفي الريب عنه يستلزم ضده ما شاء الله. الضد الريب والشك اليقين. He says, so there is no doubt in it in any shape, way or form. And when Allah negates the book containing doubt, then the opposite is understood. Because the opposite of doubt is what? Certainty. The opposite of doubt is certainty. So when Allah says this book has no doubt in it, meaning this book is certain, containing certainty. See? The opposite is understood by the negation of the doubt. فهذا الكتاب مشتمل على علم اليقين المزيد للشك والريب. So this book contains the knowledge of certainty which removes doubt and uncertainty. وهذه قاعدة مفيدة أن النفي المقصود به المدح لا بد أن يكون متضمنا لضده وهو الكمال. He says this is a very important principle to understand, which is basically that when something is negated, but it is being praised, when you negate something in the context of praising, then the opposite is understood, which means perfection. For example, if you say, this brother doesn't have a brain, man. This brother doesn't have a brain. Am I not negating his brain? I'm negating brain. He doesn't have one. That's negative. But is this praiseworthy or blameworthy? Blameworthy. I'm not saying anything praiseworthy. I'm not praising him. I'm belittling him. The brother has no brain. But yet, there's a negation, but it's not praiseworthy. I'm not trying to honor him. If I said, man, this brother makes no mistakes, he makes no mistakes, praising him or? I'm praising him, but I'm also negating. So when I am negating quality, trying to praise someone, the opposite of that negation is understood and it is perfection. So if I say this brother makes no mistakes, meaning this brother is perfect, without having to say he's perfect. See? When I negate something under the context of praising, then the opposite of this negation is understood, which is perfection. So when Allah says this book, there's no doubt in it, meaning, and is praising the book, as in Allah praising the book that has no doubt in it, meaning this book is the ultimate certainty. MashaAllah. لأن النفي عدم والعدم المحض لا متحفي. Because negating is denying the existence of something, and denying the existence of something that is does not really praise someone. Denying the existence is not praiseworthy unless it is where praise is available. But by default, if you say this brother has no brain, there's no praise in saying that he has no brain, because you're denying the existence of his brain altogether. Now please don't use this example with someone else and say that the brother doesn't have a brain. Okay, they're going to come after me afterwards. فَلَمَّا اسْتَمَلَ عَلَى الْيَقِينِ وَكَانَتِ الْهِدَايَةَ لَا تَحْصُلُ إِلَّا بِالْيَقِينِ قَالَ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ والهدى ما تحصل به الهداية من الضلالة والشبه. He says, when this book contains certainty and guidance is not attained except through certainty, this book became hudan للمتقين, guidance for people of taqwa. It became a source of guidance for people of taqwa, because hidayah, guidance, cannot be attained unless you are certain that you're upon the path. Otherwise, how could you be guided when you are in doubt? How can you possibly say, I'm upon guidance, when you doubt whether you are upon the truth or not? Impossible. So really, guidance is associated with certainty. Because of that, Allah said that this book is hudan lil muttaqin, guidance for who? The muttaqin, who have certainty. As Allah would describe him in the next verse. والهدى, what is هدى, ما تحصل به هداية من الضلال والشبه. Guidance is that which the correct direction is brought about or distinguished from misguidance and doubtful affairs. That's what guidance means. Of course, this is too difficult to really give it an English understanding, but guidance, hidayah, is basically being able to avoid doubts and uncertainty and travel upon the straight path. وما به الهداية إلى سلوك طريق النافع, and whatever guidance entails from traveling upon beneficial paths. وقال هدى وحذف المعمول فلم يقل هدى للمصلحة الفلانية ولا للشيء الفلاني لإرادة العموم وأنه هدى لجميع المصالح الدارين. Now notice here, Allah said guidance for the muttaqeen, but Allah Azza wa Jalla did not specify what kind of guidance. He did not say guidance in such aspect, for guidance for that, or guidance for this. طيب, rather he remained the maf'ul bihi, mahdhuf, is omitted. Guidance for what? Did it mention, did it specify? If it did not specify, meaning the ultimate meaning, meaning guidance for everything, had Allah specified guidance in terms of prayer, guidance in terms of belief system, guidance in terms of something, you know, specific, then you will have to keep it within this context. The fact that Allah said hudan lil muttaqin, left the general guidance for the pious, meaning it's guidance in every shape and form, and it is not limited, because what is intended is general. وَأَنَّ هُدَى لِجَمِيعِ مَصَالِحِ الدَّارَيْنِ, that the book is a source of guidance for both lives, the life we are living now and the hereafter, both homes, this home and the home and the hereafter. فَهُوَ مُرْشِدٌ لِلْعِبَادِ فِي الْمَسَائِلِ الْأُصُولِيَّةِ وَالْفُرُوعِيَّةِ. Verily, this book is a guidance to the servants in terms of the principles and the branches of the deen. The principles and the branches, yani the foundations and the branches. وَمُبَيِّنٌ لِلْحَقِّ مِنَ الْبَاطِلِ. And it distinguishes or it clarifies the truth in comparison to falsehood. وَالصَّحِيحُ مِنَ الضَّعِيفِ. And the authentic from the inauthentic. وَمُبَيِّنْ لَهُمْ كَيْفَ يَسْلُكُونَ الطُّرُقُ النَّافِعَ لَهُمْ فِي دُنْيَاهِمْ دُنْيَاهُمْ وَأُخْرَاهُمْ. And it clarifies to them how to travel upon the paths which will give them benefit whether in this world or in the hereafter. Now the Shaykh said, وَقَالَ فِي مَوْضِعٍ آخَرٍ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ فَعَمَّمْ. Now in another verse in the Qur'an, Allah said about the Qur'an, هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ. Here we have هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And another verse, هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ. Nas is what? Mankind. It's a guidance for mankind. How, when we said right now, are all mankind believers?
No.
So how do we understand that? Here one verse Allah says it's only guidance for the pious people. In another verse Allah said it is guidance for mankind. Period. We will see why. Why they were disqualified.
لِأَنَّهُ فِي نَفْسِهِ هُدَى لِجَمِيعِ الْخَلْقِ فالأشقياء لم يرفعوا به رأسا ولم يقبلوا هدى الله يرحمك الله فقامت عليهم بهم الحجة.
He said, the Shaykh رحمه الله, the book itself is guidance for the creation, but those who are wretched did not bother to even raise their head in order to interact with the Quran. They did not even bother. It is guidance for them had they accepted it. But because they did not accept it, they lost guidance. Otherwise, if they were to change their ways, wouldn't the Quran be guidance for mankind? Yes, it is a guidance for all mankind. But those who did not believe, they lost that quality. The book still has it, they are the ones who are not taking advantage of it. See? The quality of the book remains the same. Guidance for mankind. But not everyone is qualified to be among those who are guided. So the book, the Quran, became a proof against them. The proof was established against them. وَلَمْ يَنْتَبِعُوا بِهِ بِشَقَائِمْ. And they did not benefit from it because of their wretchedness and wickedness. وَأَمَّا الْمُتَّقُونَ الَّذِينَ أَدَوْا بِالسَّبَبِ الْأَكْبَرِ لِحُصُولِ الْهِدَايَةِ. As for the pious people who have actually utilized the most major reason in order to attain guidance, وَهُوَ التَّقْوَى. And it is real piety, or being God-conscious or God-fearing. الَّتِي حَقِقَتْهُ اتِّخَاذُ مَا يَقِي سَخَطَ اللَّهِ وَعَذَابِهِ. تَقْوَى really means, he says, the essence of taqwa is is avoiding that which brings about the anger of Allah and His punishment. That's taqwa. Avoiding that which will bring about the punishment of Allah, the anger of Allah, or and His punishment. And that is done بِامْتِثَالِ أَوَامِرِهِ وَاجْتِنَابِ النَّوَاهِي. And that is done, how do you avoid that? By doing the commanded and staying away from that which is forbidden. You do what Allah commanded and the Prophet ﷺ, and you stay away from whatever Allah and His Messenger ﷺ forbade. فَاهْتَدَوْا بِهِ وَانْتَفَعُوا غَايَةَ الْإِنْتِفَاعِ. So they were guided by this book and they benefited the ultimate benefit. قال الله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن تتقوا الله يجعل لكم فرقانا. In another verse Allah عز وجل says, oh you who believe, verily if you have taqwa of Allah, Allah will give you the criteria. And what is furqan meaning? Furqan is the ability to distinguish between truth and falsehood. Furqan. And that's one of the names of the Quran. Furqan is a chapter called Al-Furqan. Basically, if you fear Allah, He will help you know the right from wrong. He will give you the ability to sense is pleasing to him and what is displeasing to him. And this is only attained through taqwa. This is among the many virtues of taqwa that one of us will gain by fearing Allah Azza wa Jalla. فالمتقون هم المنتفعون بالآيات القرآنية والآيات الكونية. So the muttaqin are those who truly benefit from the Quranic verses and from the universal signs. Quranic verses and universal signs. ولأن الهداية نوعان: هداية البيان وهداية التوفيق. He says, and because guidance is of two kinds. Guidance is of two kinds. Hidayatul Bayan, guidance of clarification, meaning to clarify to someone guidance, to direct them towards guidance, to explain the way of guidance. وَهِدَيَةُ التَّوْفِيقِ. And the second kind is the guidance of success. I will explain, the Shaykh will explain what that means. فَالْمُتَّقُونَ حَصَلَتْ لَهُمْ الْهِدَايَتَانِ. What is intended by that, ya akhwan? When we divide the guidance in this fashion, هِدَايَةُ الْبَيَانِ, meaning the fact that the knowledge that Allah revealed contains guidance in it. Right? Now, who does this? Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And any one of us. Any one of us can do hidayatul bayan by telling someone the teachings of Islam. Regarding this, Allah told Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. And verily, you, O Muhammad, guide people to a straight path. Allah said that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guides to the straight path. What kind of guidance? The guidance of clarifying. By telling the people this and this and this and this, he has been a source of guidance. As for the guidance of tawfiq, success, then Allah said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Verily you do not guide those whom you love. So one time Allah said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you guide to a straight path. In another occasion he said, you cannot guide those whom you love. What is intended, as the scholars have clearly explained it, because it's obvious, you guide in terms of teaching. يا أخي لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله عيسى رسول الله. The Quran is the book of Allah. You are given guidance. You are given this brother guidance, right? Now, but the heart, guidance of your heart and success, do you have any authority over that? No. So this is two hidayah. Hidayah to bayan, explaining. Any one of us who gives da'wah is doing hidayah. And the Prophet used to say, وَجْعَلْنَا هُدَاةً مُهْتَدِينَ. In his dua, the Messenger used to say, and make us guided and a source of guidance for people. So a da'iyah is a source of guidance, but only in terms of explaining the teachings of the deen. As to the affairs of the heart, the guidance of success, this is to Allah. This is why Allah, although he told the Prophet, verily you guide to straight path, his uncle Abu Talib died as a disbeliever. And it was regarding him whom Allah said, verily you do not guide those you love. He could guide him in speech, but he could not guide his heart. You see? And maybe you come across many of your family members.
Yes.
No matter what you do, if Allah does not have it meant for this person to become guided, you have absolutely no power. And very often, not very often, 100%, the reason why they are not being guided is because there is no goodness in them. Had there been goodness in them, wallahi Allah would have guided them. Because Allah does not oppress people, not even the least bit. And if somebody had goodness in them, they were truth seekers, and they wanted to seek the pleasure of God, Allah will not leave someone on the path of misguidance. But the reality is, these people have some diseases in their hearts. They may not express them verbally. They may not show them to you. But their in their heart. And it is a punishment from Allah. Because at one point, the truth must have become evident for them, but they rejected it. And this is the most common reason why a person will remain a disbeliever. As soon as they heard about Islam, something struck in their heart that this is the truth. But then because of some worldly gain, or some pride, or some arrogance, or some any other reality, they rejected the truth. When they did this, Allah Azza wa Jalla treated them accordingly. فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ. So when they deviated, Allah made their hearts to deviate. When they rejected Allah, Allah made them forget about Him and about the benefit of themselves. If they were to change their ways, Allah Azza wa Jalla will guide them again. You see? But basically it is a result of the person. Not that Allah will not guide the people. Rather, Allah sent the prophets and the messengers and the books and the scriptures and gave us the faculties in order to become guided. But, you know, some people have eyes that they do not see with, ears that they do not hear with, hearts that they do not understand with. They are like the cattle. Rather, they are more astray. So ask Allah to guide those of our family members who are upon His guidance. Either way, we have to be patient with them. Don't give up on them. As the Prophet ﷺ remained with his uncle until his deathbed, until the last moment of his life, telling him, قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Say لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Don't give up on them. You never know. Many people live the most wicked life, and then Allah guides them before they die. It happened. And there's currently, recently, this German doctor or a German journalist who was known for speaking ill about Islam and for defaming Muslims and for criticizing Muslims in a very horrible manner. He was known for going against Islam in every shape or form. Now he's a Muslim. Allah guided him to Islam. And now he's looking back like, whoa, what was I doing? Right? So usually you will despair, you say, this person is never going to be guided, you know? But Allah Azza wa Jal guided him. So we don't despair from the mercy of Allah. And we continue to hope that Allah will guide these family members of ours. If they pass away without the guidance, then we know that Allah Azza wa Jal is the most wise, and barely they are getting what they deserve, then we try to work on saving ourselves. Because either way, on the day of judgment, everybody's going to run away from everybody else. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. On the day where the man will run away from his brother, from his mom, from his mother and his father, from his wife and his children. On the day of judgment, man, you don't want no one to tell you nothing. Nothing. So, we may have an attachment towards him in this dunya, but inevitably in hereafter we will run away from each other. Unless they all die upon belief. So this is the bottom line of this. So guidance is of two kinds. You guidance of explanation, of guiding, of knowledge. You tell, you teach the person. And guidance of success is with Allah. No one can guide but Allah. So the muttaqeen have both. They have the guidance of knowledge and explanation and the guidance of success by Allah Azza wa Jalla. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla described them. ثم وصف المتقين بالعقائد والأعمال الباطنة والأعمال الظاهرة لتضمن التقوى لذلك. Then Allah described the muttaqin pertaining to the inner belief system and the outwardly actions. Because taqwa involves both something in here and something that you do outside. So he said, الذين يؤمنون بالغيب. Those who believe in the unseen. وهي حقيقة الإيمان. And this is the truth behind faith. I mean, at the end of the day, if you don't believe in the unseen, then you're a Catholic. Right or wrong? Can somebody tell me why? No. It doesn't say in the six pillars of faith to believe in the unseen. Not in that context, not clearly like that. It may be understood that there's no six pillars to believe in the unseen, no. Believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, preordained day of judgment. Oh, I just said, only angels? You begin with Allah. Is Allah from the seen or the unseen? If you don't believe in the unseen, you don't believe. seen? Have you seen the Day of Judgment? No. Have you seen the scriptures? Like the, you know, the Gospel and the Torah, the Quran, yes, alhamdulillah. But the other scriptures, have you seen them? No, that's from the unseen, you have to believe in them. Have you seen the angels? No. Have you seen the prophets and the messengers? No. Angels? No. Allah? No. So in essence, all of them are from the unseen. It's too early in the morning and you didn't have your coffee. Come on, sir. That's why your brain is not, you know, otherwise this was more obvious than anything. There, all of them are from the unseen. If you don't believe in the unseen, you're on vacation from Iman. You must believe in the unseen because the number one is Allah Azza wa Jal. He's among the unseen. Now we see the manifestation, we see Allah through His creation, but not that kind of seeing. You know, the one that the believers will see on the Day of Judgment and in Jannah. That is another form of seeing. Now we look at the creation of Allah and we confirm that Allah Azza wa Jal is the founder and the manufacturer of all these products. At the same time, we do not see Allah. No one has seen Allah in this dunya. Not even the Prophet, according to the most correct opinion from among the scholars. When Aisha asked him, did you see Allah? He said no. When he went to the Isra or Mi'raj and the ascending. So basically that's the belief system. So when Allah says يؤمنون بالغيب, they believe in the unseen, meaning they believe in all the six pillars of faith. على طول. And this is the essence of Iman. وهذا حقيقة الإيمان هو التصديق التام بما أخبرت به الرسل المتضمن لانقياد الجوارح. And the way we understand that is basically it is the belief beyond a doubt, to accept beyond a doubt everything that the messengers have informed us about. And that includes the action of the limbs. That includes the following of the limbs, meaning because of that belief, it translates into acts of worship that you do with your limbs. وَلَيْسَ الشَّأْنُ فِي الْإِيمَانِ بِالْأَشْيَاءَ الْمُشَاهَدَ بِالْحِسِ. And Iman is not about seeing something that is tangible. That is not the virtue of Iman. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَتَمَيَّزْ بِهِ الْمُسْلِمُ وَلَا الْكَافِرُ. Because there's no distinction between the believer and the disbeliever. يعني right now, if an angel was to present himself to a room that contains both Muslims and non-Muslims, and you ask them later, do you believe in the angels? And everybody will say yes. Well, assuming that you had atheists with you, right? At that point they're going to say, yeah, I believe, I've just seen an angel. But the believer believed in the angel prior to the sight. So if you see something, it doesn't make a distinction between a believer and disbeliever. It's a given now. It's a fact. So the whole thing is about believing in the unseen. إِنَّمَا الشَّأْنُ فِي الْإِيمَانِ بِالْغَيْبِ الَّذِي لَمْ نَرَهُ وَلَمْ نُشَاهِدْ. But really the whole thing is about believing in the unseen, which we have not seen and we have not viewed. وَإِنَّمَا نُؤْمِنُ بِهِ لِخَبَرِ اللَّهِ وَخَبَرِ رَسُولِهِ. But the only reason why we believe in it because of the news, the knowledge given to us by Allah and by His Messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. فهذا الإيمان الذي يميز به المسلم من الكافر. This is the faith that makes a distinction between the believer and the disbeliever. لأنه تصديق مجرد لله ورسله. Because it is this surrendered kind of belief or acceptance in Allah and His messengers. فالمؤمن يؤمن بكل ما أخبر الله به. So the believer believes in everything that Allah Azza wa Jal told us about. أو أخبر به رسوله or His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم told us about. سواء شاهده أم لم يشاهده. Whether he sees it or he does not see it. وسواء فهمه وعقله أو لم يهتدي إليه عقله وفهمه. And whether he understands it. And whether he understands it and he grasps it, or whether his mind is not intelligent enough to be able to do so. Because some people will understand and some people just doesn't understand. I don't know how you say that the grave is going to crush me. Yeah, because we know from the narrations that the grave will hug a person until his bones intertwine. until his ribs intertwine. Of course, this is for the disbeliever, for the evil person. Now, someone will say, my mind just cannot understand it. Say, Akhi, your job as a believer is to disbelieve. If your mind understands it, mabruk, ahlan wa sahlan. If your mind doesn't understand it, put your mind aside and believe. Another person says, yes, it makes sense that the grave will be tight, because this is from Allah, can do anything. And I understand that Allah ala kulli shayin qadir, Allah ala kulli shayin qadir. Allah is able to do all things. You know, this is not something that is very new. We've seen, miracles that the prophets and the messengers perform, and this is nothing different than that. So his mind is okay with it. Another person, his mind is not okay. Iman is where you put your mind aside and you believe. After you have attained faith through the mind, be careful now. We're not going for blind faith, as the Christians do. No blind faith in Islam. You attain faith through logic. Once you are under the umbrella of faith, among things that are part of faith that you don't understand, you submit to. But you coming under the umbrella has to be based on logic. That's why Allah always in the Quran said, "Inna fi dhalika la ayatin liqawmin yatafakkarun, liqawmin ya'qilun." Verily in these, whatever Allah mentioned, are signs for people of understanding, for people who think. Meaning you come to faith through logic. La ilaha illallah, logical. Trinity, illogical. You know? So you come into faith with logic. Now once you're a believer, if there are some things that come across you that you don't understand, then you, because of your major belief in everything else, you accept the things that your mind may not understand. But not the essence of the belief. You cannot possibly become a believer if it does not make any sense to you. You know? Because you will not have certainty. You will not have certainty, and we said that Iman has to, you have to have certainty to be truly guided. You have to be sure. And you cannot be sure if you just did not use your mind. And every one of you who became a Muslim did so because it made sense. Islam made sense. No one just kept telling you, become a Muslim, become Muslim, become Muslim. But I don't understand. Don't worry about it. Just have faith. Did anyone do that to you? Did you become a Muslim like that? No. You analyzed it. You said, this makes sense. I like it. Okay. I'll believe. Now once you become a believer, if there are some things that you don't understand, you believe because of your belief that this is from Allah. But your mind may not understand everything, because you know that you are not none of us is the most intelligent person. So we are limited in this sense. Tayyib? So anyways, that is what is intended here, so you will not have a misconception. So whether his mind understands or not, بخلاف الزنادق المكذبين للأمور الغيبية. This is in opposition, these qualities of the believers, in opposition to the wicked liars who deny the matters of the unseen. لأن عقولهم القاصرة المقصرة لم تهتدي إليها. Because their deficient, feeble minds did not understand it. فكذبوا بها بما لم يحيطوا بعلمه. So they denied that which they did not encompass in knowledge. ففسدت عقولهم. So their brains became bad. ومرجت أحلامهم. And they became just like children. وزكت عقول المؤمنين والمصدقين المهتدين بهدى الله. On the other hand, the minds of the believers grew. And they were nourished with iman and guidance, those who follow the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is intended by that, those who deny the unseen, is like those idiots who come and tell you that, you know, how do you say that Allah is going to bring us back after we die and we become bones and we disintegrate with the earth and we become nothing but dust particles? You're going to tell me that we're going to come back on the day of judgment in our body, in our same appearance now, right? Their minds did not understand that, so they denied it. But if you really think about it, this is crazy. Because if you think about it, as Allah proved it in the Quran in hundreds of occasions, He always gives us two examples to refute this methodology. Number one, the growth of the vegetables from the ground, which you see every day. Every day, when the rain falls and there's a little seed,
it becomes a tree or a plant or a tomato or what have you. Every day you see something come from this very small particle and becoming another creation. You see it every day. So what's the difference between you and that? If Allah is able to every day create new creation coming from the earth, then what is the difference between you and that? This is one reputation that Allah Azza wa Jalla uses. The other one is, you, how did you come the first time? Which is more difficult? If I was to disassemble this machine here, break it into pieces, okay, right in front of you, I take this part, take this part, take this part, and put it back together, or if you gave it to me in a box, all disassembled, and I do not know, I don't have a, you know, manual, even with a manual, which is easier to do? To put it back after I took it apart, or to put it back from scratch? Me, put it back. So if Allah created us the first time, which is more difficult, to create you the first time or to bring you back after you already existed? Inevitably it's the second one. Both are easy for Allah because He brought us the first time. But this is in order to go with their understanding, to go down to their level. If Allah created you the first time, then it's easier to bring you back. Subhanallah, otherwise you coming the first time would have been too difficult. And then it wouldn't have happened, but it did happen. And you see it in yourself. So these people actually are not using their minds. Because if your mind will prove to you, that's why we say logic. Faith is based on logic, intellect. Your mind will prove to you that you will come back. And that Allah is able to bring you back as He brought you the first time. Yeah, but this is only for the believers who Allah gives guidance to. As for the disbelievers, they will argue with you. You know, atheists will argue with you. Now, ويدخل في الإيمان بالغيب الإيمان بجميع ما أخبر الله به من الغيوب الماضية والمستقبلة وأحوال الآخرة. Included in believing in the unseen is believing in everything that Allah told us about from the past events and from the future ones. يعني what happened with Nuh عليه السلام وإبراهيم وموسى وعيسى and what will happen on the day of judgment and all, you know, all these things is included in believing in the unseen, because we didn't see the past and we sure enough didn't see the future and the affairs of the hereafter وحقائق وأوصاف الله وكيفيتها and also the reality of the attributes of Allah, the essence of the attributes of Allah. وَمَا أَخْبَرَ بِهِ الرُّسُلُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ And what the messengers have also told us about that, about Allah Azza wa Jal. فَيُؤْمِنُونَ بِصِفَاتِ اللَّهِ وَوْجُودِهَا So they believe in the attributes of Allah and the existence of them, the attributes of Allah, and the existence of the attributes of Allah. As some who deny the attributes of Allah, they say you cannot say that Allah can hear, you cannot say that Allah can see, you cannot say that Allah knows everything, you cannot say that Allah is able to do all things. Some, even among the Muslims, deny these. Because they think if you affirm them, then you are resembling Allah to His creation. And this is really a lack of understanding of Islamic teachings. And the verse, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ There's nothing like unto Allah. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ There's none equal to Allah. So we believe that Allah has these attributes, but we know that there's nothing like Allah. So you don't come and compare yourself to Allah. Who are you to compare yourself to the creator of the heavens and the earth? So the attributes of Allah are in the most perfect, ultimate sense, while ours are deficient. And the difference in nature indicates the difference in the attributes. So if the nature of the creator and the nature of the creation are different, then inevitably the nature of the attributes of the creator and the nature of the attributes of the creation are also different. Right? So these are all principles that you should learn in Aqeedah. And we have a dars in Aqeedah in Hayy al-Mushrifa every Thursday. It's going to become every Wednesday after Maghrib. Wednesday after Maghrib in Da'wah Sana in Hayy al-Mushrifa. Sharia al-Sittin about the Aqeedah al-Wasitiyah of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. The Aqeedah of al-Wasitiyah is the name, the Aqeedah of Ahl-Sunnah al-Jama'ah, written by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah and the Sharih of Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. You're welcome to join. المهم ويتيقنونها وان لم يفهموا كيفيتها and they
have certainty in the attributes of Allah, even if they do not understand the nature of it, how it is, how Allah Azza wa Jal istawa al arsh, how Allah rose above His throne. You don't need to understand that. You don't need to ask about that, but you have certainty about that, because Allah reveals that in the Quran in 7 different occasions. And we will conclude, I believe, or shall we do the salah? No, we will conclude right now, inshallah. Inshallah, next week we'll be dealing with يقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون, and whatever Allah Azza wa Jal will facilitate to us from the explanation. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.